All right.
Let's pray and we'll jump right in this. Father, y'all, we glorify you as always, and we bless you. We thank you for being the Most High, y'all, in our lives. Right now, we seek wisdom and understanding. We bless you in advance for it. We just declare that everything that you reveal to us, we will put it into action. And we thank you for our Savior, as through his obedience to you, we now have access to our God and our Father. We bless him for his obedience. And we thank you for all the things that you do in our lives. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. I want to discuss title this. I'll just give you the title. You know I very seldom have a title. Y'all always have to say, what the title? I just jump out of there and roll with it. Y'all have to come up with the title. Title of this is I Forgive You. And the reason why I'm doing this lesson is because of a lady who made a post, actually two posts, in social media, and I read them and I responded to those posts. The first one was had this caption, had this photo of a little Japanese baby, and then had a caption that basically said, I'm just paraphrasing it, that it is ridiculous to hold this innocent child accountable for what her ancestors did at Pearl Harbor. And then the caption went on to say, it is also ridiculous to hold people accountable for what their ancestors did during the Atlantic slave trade.
That's what that was coming.
And you know how my mind works. You know, I'm a factual kind of guy. When you say something, you better make sure you cover that thing all angles, because I'm analytical, and if I see some stuff at a lot of different angles, and if I see an angle that need to be addressed, I'm gonna address it. If it's all in truth, amen. You know, I often say that it doesn't matter to me who's saying it. If it's truth, they're gonna get an amen out of me. Well, when you even when you look at the word amen, you get a lot of people saying Amen Ra. I be like, some people say Amen Ra, but amen also means I agree. And so don't take red and say red means red as far as everything you read, when I'm talking about a red shirt. It ain't the same, you know. So don't try to tell me what I believe based upon your opinion and what you understand about amen. Amen means so be it to me. I don't know what it means to you, but what it means to you is fine, but don't make it mean the same thing. So my response was, you know, since again, I'm a factual kind of guy, I said, in a nutshell, with photos, by the way, I said, when it came down to Pearl Harbor, there were thousands of kids, innocent, who was bombed, nuked by the United States, who had absolutely nothing to do with Pearl Harbor. So you justify a means from one perspective, but then the very mean you use to justify your perspective, it can be torn up by seeing how the response was taken by not having pity on any of the kids. And it was Hiroshima, if I'm saying it correctly. I think it was another one, something like that. I can't remember the name, but Kawasaki? No, I'm talking about that. Kawasaki. That's a motorcycle. Nagasaki. Some of them sockies, you know, not degrading, but, you know, help a brother out. And so I showed photos to point out that you can't take and look at one angle of a certain thing and then you come to the conclusion that that's the way it should be across the board. Only truth can be measured across the board. And so there was no response from that. Well, I see another post today. And the post has, former football player, well-known guy, Herschel Walker, who put up Matthew chapter 6. And he quotes Matthew chapter 6, which is our topic for tonight. Matthew 6, verse 14, it says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And I think that was the only one that he dealt with. And in the caption, it had, Herschel Walker quotes the Bible and basically says he don't see why people are held accountable for what their ancestors did. Basically the same thing. And I'm like, okay, one Israelite doesn't speak for the population. And just because you use the scripture doesn't mean that you're telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you, Yah. Because this old Rolodex got to turn it, and I want to deal with that on tonight. And we'll look and get an understanding of the perspective on forgive. We all should forgive people. But there is a perspective on it that most people don't want to deal with, because in dealing with that perspective, it causes us to do what Matthew 7 says, when it says, in order to get the splinter out of someone else's eye, you need to first get the beam out of your own eye so you can see clearly on how to do it. When we see clearly concerning things and put all the scriptures together, then this can be clearly understood. Okay, now I'm going to start out with a perspective of forgiveness by looking at Luke chapter 23, the perfect example, our Savior. And in Luke 23, verse 34, he says this, "Then said Yehoshua, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then it says, "And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Now, this is a perspective of forgiving people. You have something? No, go ahead and jump out of there. You know I don't be current. Go ahead, man. Do what you do.
Forgiveness doesn't mean we didn't get no consequences from the choice that we made.
That is another perspective on it. See, people believe, and I'm glad you said it right there, because that's something that needs to be understood and covered. People believe that because they are forgiven, it means that everything is wiped clean and there's no accountability. I can take you to one scripture after another where Yah made people be accountable, although he forgave them. Okay? So the first thing we need to understand is that because we forgive doesn't mean that it nullifies accountability. You can look at David's example. There were things that David did that Yah said to David specifically, because you did that, you're going to have issues in your own household. And he did. David repented. One case with Bathsheba. He repented, and yet he got her pregnant. And she had the child, and the child died. He repented, but Yah held him accountable. The prophet came to him and started giving this example, talking about how the I need to go there. Let me see if I can. I'm gonna pull up another Bible. I think he said, "Thou art the man." Let's see. Nope, it's not gonna show me. Wait, yeah, I'm thinking New Testament.
While you're looking at that, Is there a scripture that says when God forgives us, it's as far as the east is from the west?
Yes.
Does it say anything about him throwing it in the sea of forgetfulness?
Yes, and it's in the scripture.
I know, see where you're coming from, but I think some people look at that, but, well, let me just ask this question. Is there a difference in...
Go ahead.
...in God forgiving and us forgiving?
So...
Go ahead.
So there's a context for that, right? So in the sea of forgiveness, that's what's happening when you stand before him at your judgment. But that don't mean while you're still here, you ain't going to have consequences for the stuff that you... Those things are outlaid and they're out there. I said before, you life and death, blessings and curses. You choose. So the actions that you choose while you're here on earth gonna have consequences. Now when you stand before him, he may not hold you accountable for those things because he forgave you. But that don't mean you get to skate on it while you're here.
Let's look at it. We gonna be all over the place, I can see. That's okay though. Let's see if that's there. If my maybe spelling it wrong.
And I want to add to that also. I think that's something that we got to understand too. It's not. It's like, because I feel like people beat themselves up and Yah has forgiven them. Y'all know they still going to have consequences, but they beating themselves up over something Yah ain't beating them up over, but they may still have consequences. So let's say if I have sex out of wedlock, I may have, a baby is a consequence. That consequence, even if you kill it, it's still, there's consequence, right? You're gonna have to deal with that the rest of your life. So it ain't like you escape consequences, that those things you gotta deal with.
It's, if you can, help me find, whatever you said, sea of forgiveness is one that you quoted. There was another one I think you quoted also.
The east and the west.
East from the west. Okay. We want to look at those because we're adding to it as we go.
Okay.
Okay. Now, and we're going to cover all of this here. So.
And the question was, is God's forgiving different from ours?
It's different from ours. Now, and we'll deal with all of it. Okay. So, you had something else?
No.
Okay. Now, Luke 23, verse 34. It says, then said Yehoshua, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is one perspective of forgiving in, as Elder pointed out, the contextual meaning. In other words, there are times when I have to, when you look at the word forgive, let's deal with the word forgive, 34. When you look at the word forgive, it means to send forth, forsake, lay aside, leave. See them? Yield up. So there are times when we should yield up or leave or lay aside things that people do that is a transgression or sin against us. You can also say Yah also, but against us, where Christ made the statement in reference to them within a contextual meaning. He said they don't know what they're doing. They're carrying out something that when you look at it, is morally wrong. It's sinful. But yet it's written in the scriptures. These things must be fulfilled. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. Now, we're going to look at the word.
It also said, let go, let alone.
Yeah, let go, let alone. Okay? So, forgive them, for they know, knowledge. Okay? Consider, they perceive. They have no perception. They don't perceive that they're killing the our Lord. They know not what they do. Okay? Now, that is a perspective of forgiving. There are times when people will transgress, sin, okay? And they won't realize what they have done. That's why a lot of times we have to be very careful about, so to speak, holding a grudge towards somebody. You know that old saying when it's like, okay, here you still having issues with that individual, and that individual has gone on, not even concerned about what has happened. Well, there's a twofold perspective to it. One, they may not care. The other one, they may not understand. They may not know that they've done you wrong. I remember this particular pastor. We ended up being really good friends. He's deceased now. But there were certain things that, there were certain ways that he would treat me that let me know that he had an issue with me. And I didn't know what I had done. And so I just kind of went to him. I said, hey, bro, hey, if there's anything that I've done to offend you in any kind of way, you know, I'm just letting you know, hey, man, you know, forgive me. And he was like, no, that's boss, ain't nothing you've done to offend me in any kind of way. And his whole mindset changed toward me, and we were really good friends all the way up to his death. And so that's a perspective as far as forgiving is concerned. Did you ever find anything?
Micah 7 and 19.
Okay, Micah 7. Micah 7, 19. Let's go to verse 18. So, who is like Yah unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Now, when you look at iniquity, that in a nutshell, in simple form, is like willful sin, and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. ? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquity. It's letting us know conditions.
In the future tense, too.
In the future tense, also. So what this is letting us know is Yah said, I'm mad at you for what you did, but I'm going to drive you back to me so that I can pour out my mercy upon you. Let's read it again. Go ahead.
And it's not necessarily talking to everybody either.
It's talking to the one who are subdued. And now when you look at the word, let's just go to 18. We'll come back down, look at the word subdued. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Look at the word iniquity. It means fault, evil, sin, okay? Mischief, punishment. So it lets us know that someone who operates in iniquity is someone who knows what they're doing. It's not like what Christ said and over here. They didn't know what they were doing, although it was still something that was from an unrighteous moral act. They still didn't understand what they do, but this person in Micah is iniquity. They understand what's going on. Okay? Now, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? ?
So remnant of his heritage is not everybody.
Not everybody. He's letting you know, or letting us know, that there is an heritage, a remnant, that he's going to drive back to him by subduing. And he's subduing us. Okay? Now, he retaineth not his anger forever. He's angry, but he's not going to be angry with us forever. Why? Because he's going to subdue. Okay? His anger forever. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighted in mercy. Yah is always looking for opportunity. All of us who operate in righteousness always looking for opportunity to forgive, or we're always looking for opportunities to make things right. There's a moral consciousness in us. That's your question, Mama. Cuz there's a moral consciousness in us that make us want to do what our Father does. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when you see or when we see how Yah operate, his children operate the same way. That's how we're manifested as the children of the Most High. Yah has mercy, we have mercy. Okay? Now, he delighted in mercy. He will turn again. Let us know that he was going in another direction. He will turn again. He will have compassion up on us. He will subdue our iniquity. Who's going to do it? Yah said, I'm going to drive you to me. Now, when you look at the word subdue, the word subdue means disregard, subjugate, force. Okay? That's why Yah is driving us as a people back to him. His mercy and his love for us is making him drive us as the remnant back to him so that he can perform his word. He said it in Micah. He's going to do exactly what he said. He's going to subdue us. He's going to make the remnant repent. Okay? Now, as we continue on now, it says he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. When it's subdued. As long as we weren't it, he can't cast it in the depths of the sea. There has got to be something that happens with us that makes Yah say, I have mercy on you. I can't be crazy. That's why the scripture says two-thirds, I just use that as example. That's why the scripture says two-thirds will be cut off, because two-thirds are not going to subdue. Yah said, I'm going to subdue you. Those that I subdue, I will have mercy. Those that I have mercy, I will subdue their iniquity. And when I subdue them, I will cast them to the depths of the sea. But it's something that is required on our part. Y'all hear this? Now, when we look at the root of forgiving, that's what we're going to pull out. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ prayed it, Luke 23:34. So there are times when we should pray for someone and forgive that individual because there are things that was done in ignorance. How many people have you seen or have experienced a certain circumstance? And I'm going to just use this for an example. You know, y'all forbid it don't happen to anybody or anything like that. This is just an example. Have you ever seen somebody or had an experience when somebody was in the car with a friend and had a wreck and the friend got killed and the entire family held that against the person who was driving the car? That's what Christ is talking about. That individual had a wreck and it cost somebody's life. But yet we cannot as the righteous hold that over that individual. We have to forgive them, because when you look at it from the perspective of knowing not, they didn't have perception that they was going to have a wreck. And so we have to be willing to look at and embrace that individual for what they're going through in losing their friend, although we've lost a loved one. And we have to be wise enough to forgive that individual. We can't say, oh, well, no, they got to come to me and say, I'm sorry. No, at that particular moment, it is a circumstance that fits the criteria of they didn't have perception of what was going to take place. And you need to have the wisdom enough to know that you have to forgive people for that. You walk around here and say, well, I hate them because, you know, they had a wreck and killed my loved one, and I hate the whole family now. Well, y'all can't deal with us when we have that mindset. So I'm just using that as one example, and I gave you that example just to kind of wrap your mind around the perspective that Christ has in Luke 23:34. That's something.
Just a comment. The actual term "seal of forgiveness" is not actually in the scripture. So it talks about it to the depths of the sea, but the actual term.
Forgiveness. That's why I couldn't find it when I typed in forgiveness. So when he cast in the depths of the sea, it implies that, but at the same time, we want to say within the rightful way of the scripture source, the depths of the sea. Was there another one?
That talks about the concept of that?
No, I think you quoted another one. From the east to the west, yeah. Now I keep moving until you find it. Okay.
Psalms 103:12.
Okay. Psalms 103:12. Okay. Okay, let's go to verse 10. Verse 10 says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquity." In other words, we do a whole lot, we deserve a whole lot worse than what we get. When you look at what our nation did, given the law, statutes, and judgments of Yah, and how we rebelled and start worshiping other gods and start taking on the customs of other nations. I mean, the slavery, we deserve way more punishment than that. Okay? That's just something, you know, that we look at, you know, as an example of this, verse 10. So he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy. There it is again. So we got to keep the mercy within the contextual meaning of Micah. Mercy always come when there is attached to a driving of us back to Yah. We got to always remember that. So you get people that expect mercy from Yah, but yet they think they have to do nothing on their end.
Goes back to the context of what we talked about on Saturday, where it's about a relationship with Yah. You can't be expecting, I ain't gonna pay no attention to you ever.
Right.
And then when I need you, oh, come on.
Right. Yah. Right. It's the craving that brings forth the results, in a nutshell. You get people that only want to call on when they need him. Yah's like, hey, you better seek me while I may be found. Call on me when I'm near. I'm near when you call on me every day. Other than that, I may be way over yonder somewhere. And you calling it at a time when you need, but it's just that I hadn't heard you so long, you know. Exactly. Thought that was a dog howling or something like that, you know. Now, for verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear reverence. So I can't now jump in verse 12 without reverence. Because the reverence of Yah causes now an action on my part that makes Yah says, kick in verse 12 in that life. You see, that's how we have to do things in contextual meaning. We can't just snatch something out and then say, this is what it means, and this is how. No, we gotta understand how Yah's perspective is on the subject matter. So now verse 12, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that reverence him. Fear, verse 11, look. Fear. That fearing, morally reverent. Afraid. We all are morally reverent of Yah. And he said, because you that now, let's go to verse 12 and talk about you. As far as the east is from the west, so far... Take the soul out. For hath he removed our transgression from him. Those that fear him, he removed it. But those that operate in iniquity, it ain't going nowhere.
Those that's hating on his people, they ain't going nowhere.
This is what people don't understand about forgiving. So, I can forgive, but are you reverencing? Are you being driven to Yah? Is there a subduing taking place with your mental state? Because if it's not, then, baby, the scriptures got to fulfill.
Even so, like, you know, those things happen from a context of what what's coming later on. You still going to have consequences here for whatever you do.
Exactly.
It just is what it is.
That's what it is.
You can't dodge that bullet.
That's what it is.
I can't be like, oh, well, I didn't mean it. That baby's still there. I mean, it ain't like the baby go away because you asked for forgiveness and got it. Baby's
right.
Still there.
That's true. Now, we'll go to Matthew 6 now. Matthew 6. Yes, go ahead.
Could you go back to that one? I was hoping you would read that next verse after verse
13. I was in Psalms. What was it? Psalms what?
103.
Psalms 103? 12. That's right. We get to Psalm 103. We're fine. Psalms 103 again. Verse 12. 13 is the one you had it. It says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Yeah, boy, that's a good one. I'm glad you didn't let me get away with that. Boy, I'm glad you didn't let me. I'm glad you saw that, man. That's a shoot, I quit right there. Now let's look at the word pity. Man, I'm glad you saw that. Now, see, that's what I like about y'all. All of us be preaching in here. Now, when you look at pity, it means fondle by implication to love. Like as the father love his children, so the Lord loveth them that fear him. So if we don't reverence y'all enough to make those adjustments, what happens? That's the reason why the scripture says he hated Esau. He didn't hate Esau just because Esau was a man. He hated Esau from a perspective of Esau didn't want to fear him, reverence him. He sold his birthright for some red pottage. Thus, he's called Edom. But you know, our Israelite brother, they come up with a whole new doctrine behind that. So Yah used that as a and that's found in, let's just look at that since I mentioned it. I think it's Malachi 1, I think. Malachi 1 verse 2 says, I have loved you, saith Yah. Wait a minute, let's go back. I got to preach this right. The burden of the word of Yah to Israel by Malachi. Yah's talking to Israel. He said, I have loved you, saith Yah. Yet ye said, wherein hast thou loved us? He said, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith Yah. Yet I love thee. Yet I love Jacob. And I hated Esau. Why? Why was there a love-hate relationship? One reverence and the other one did. Simple. So when you look at verse 13, you heard something?
And it's not like Jacob got it all right, because he was doing some underhanded stuff.
Jacob, man, the time you look around, Jacob was doing some stuff he didn't have no business doing. But there was something that was going on with Jacob that made him reverence.
Like he covered it what y'all had so much, and he was willing to do whatever it took.
There you go.
Even if it meant cheating.
Right. See, I got to expose myself. See, that's my advantage. I'm not perfect, but I love y'all. I reverence him. And y'all be like, yeah, he's stupid, but watch me bless that fool. I'm going to take a foolish thing, and I'm going to confound the wise. Why? Because that boy reverence me. You may look at him and say, he throw it off in ignorance, and he just dropped. No, y'all say, yeah, but you ought to see how that boy come at me. I can't help but to show him mercy. Even when he crazy, I got to show him mercy. Why? Because the reverence is there. The love is there. And I got to love him back. If I didn't love him back, I would go against my own word. I love them that reverence me. And when there's a moral reverence of Yah, even though we're not in our perfect state, Yah said, watch, I can't help but to show him mercy. He just messed up, but let me show him mercy. Thus you understand David. David was a man after Yah's own heart. Why? Because he was in love with his God. Yah said, he crazy right now. You know, he do some stuff he don't have no business doing. I am going to hold him accountable for it, but I got to show him mercy. Like as a father pitieth, love his children, so Yah loveth them that fear him. Okay. So that's vitally important for us to understand. So when you look at this process of forgiving people and people forgiving us, it falls within the same mindset of Yah. People don't understand Yah's mindset. They think they can just go to somebody and say, "Forgive me." Yah said, "Change. Let me subdue you. If you want my mercy, show me something." We don't like that side of God. We think he's Puff the Dragon. I ain't gonna mess up anytime I want to and come jump on there and say, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and it's done, I'm good now." Y'all said, "No, I subdue sin. I subdue iniquity. And if you want me to forget about it, you better change." This is the real gospel right here. This ain't some watered down traditional doctrine that people teach because they don't want to look at themselves in the mirror. This forces all of us to look in the mirror and to say, "Okay, I see how my father operate, and I must operate the same way." Now, let me show you that this is factual. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 14. I just saw it there for the sake of the time. It said, "If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now, we got to read verse 14 with the understanding of how our Father thinks about transgression or trespasses. We can't now look at that verse 14 and say, "You got to forgive. You don't forgive, your Father can't forgive you." So now I got to jump out and forgive, and the rascal's still doing the same stuff. Am I better than God? Am I better than Yah? Am I greater than the Most High? Well, as a person can now have a certain mindset and can just expect me to do something and they have not feared my Father? The reverence of my Father and the actions associated with it is what gives me the liberty to be just like my Father and say, "I'm going to do what he did." Verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This verse is talking about the person who has the issue with somebody who has sinned. Trespasses mean sin. Look at it. It says fault, offense, sin. So let's just put the word sin in there just for the lesson. "For if ye forgive men their sin, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now, do I take that and just put it all on my shoulder? No, Yah doesn't put it all on his. I said, there are certain things that you do that you have got to make changes before you experience my throwing this into the depths of the sea. There's reverence taking place. There's a moral change that has to take place. Now, here's the issue now. People want to make this between God and me or Yah and you. And they want to put the responsibility all on our part and say, "If you're going to be a righteous person, then you need to forgive me, because if you don't forgive me, then neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you." Well, I got a question. What did you do? Now, a person may think that me asking that question is not operating in righteousness, because we think that our forgiving is based upon what we do between us and Yah. So if Elder do something to me, then I have to forgive him between me and Yah. This is about me and Yah, and it has nothing to do with him. I beg to differ. let's look at the scripture. 1 John chapter 1. We'll start at verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Eternal life was with the Father, was manifested to us through Christ. It's not saying that Christ was with Yah. It was manifested through Christ. The eternal life has always been with the Father. Christ is the door to the eternal life. Okay? Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Yehoshua Mashiach. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that Yah is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yehoshua Mashiach, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, when you look at this verse here, or this passage here, we have to stay within the contextual meaning. Okay? Now, as it says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me ask the question. When we look at verse 9, is it saying that if we confess our sins to Yah, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Or is it saying if we confess our sins to man? Okay. Or does this give a twofold understanding that Yah is talking about confessing, period, whether it's to him or man? Now, let's let the scripture give us the answer. All right? I'm going to pull up another Bible here, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 21 through verse 24 as one example, and then we're going to deal with another scripture to understand verse 9. Okay? Now, Matthew 5, verse 21 says, ye have heard that it is said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. Now, when we look at the word Raca, it means worthless. Okay? Now, verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, verse 23, therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembereth that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now, why would the scripture tell us that it's important to be reconciled with our brother before we submit or operate in the things of Yah? I'm just going to say it from that perspective because it says gift here. Okay? Leave that gift at the altar and go thy way first. Go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. Why would the scripture say this?
First John.
Okay. Other scriptures now. Now, I'm going to pull up one more because I want to look at these side by side. Within their contextual meaning, James 5. James 5, verse 16, says, confess your faults. No, confess them to God. All I have to do is confess my wrongdoing to God. I ain't got to confess nothing to elder. I did him wrong, but I can bring my gift and say, Yah, I'm sorry for what I did to elder. Yah said, you better leave that gift at the table, and you better go to elder. I'm not going to honor your gift. That's accountability. But people don't like this kind of preaching. They think they can just do whatever they want to. I can go to God. I ain't going to worry about nobody. Just as long as me and God are right. Y'all said, what did he say, elder? If you hate what? Your brother. And say that you love him, you what? You're lying. So the mere fact that I'm willing to leave that gift and go to elder before I present something to y'all and say, look, we need to be reconciled. I did you wrong. Or you got a problem with me. Let's get this reconciled and deal with this issue, because if I don't do this, then what I'm about to do over here is gonna be something that is gonna hinder my walk. We don't like this kind of stuff. Let me ask you a question. Are you your brother's keeper? So when you look at these things, you know what faults are? Sin. I don't have to confess my sin to elder. I can go to God and confess my sin. What the scripture said, there are times when you need to confess your sin to the one you sin against. Confess your faults. Confess, look at the word faults, verse 16. If you had something, go ahead.
Just to answer to your question. Go ahead. My brother's keeper.
Right.
If you keen him, you gotta be.
Gotta be. How many times should you forgive him? 70 times 7. Yeah. But here's the thing about it. that is within the understanding of y'all's mindset. Elder can't slap me. Then I said, I forgive you. He slapped me again. I said, I forgive you. He slapped me again. I forgive. No, there has to be some repentance on his part. He can't keep slapping me, and I'm going to say forgive him 7 times 7 and think I'm being kingdom-minded. No, this is crazy. He has to change. Man, quit slapping me. That's accountability. People don't want to take accountability for their mess. They just want to go to God and think it goes away. Thus, we, as the children of Israel, think it ought to just go away. I don't understand why we have to down the street, because we're not confessing what we did. Our ancestors. Now, you got white folks saying, well, I don't understand why we got to pay for what we did, because you got to confess what you did. And when you confess it, it's more than just in words, it's action associated with it. Make a 180. Confess your faults. When you look at the word fault, it is sin. It is trespassing. Thus, when you look at Matthew chapter 6, the scripture that was used to deal with this, where we started, if you forgive men their trespasses, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But that's why I come to the conclusion and say, how can I forgive you what you hadn't confessed? You bringing all your gifts to Yah, but I'm the one you got issues with. And everybody think they can just bypass the real issue and go to Yah and say, Yah, forgive me. I don't care about nobody else. Well, the scripture said there are times when we need to confess our faults to one another. I need to go to the individual that I've done wrong and say, look, I have sinned against you. Confess your sin one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. What does the word healed mean? The word healed means cure. I can't be cured if you ain't admitting what you did. Elder slap me every day. I got knots upside my head. I'm bleeding. And then he just stopped. I still got knots upside my head and bleed. Yes.
So can you, if you don't ever come and ask you to forgive him, forgive?
Yes. Because we have to take in consideration that because that individual is operating, using the elder for example, he constantly slapped me and he don't repent. I have to forgive him, but there's still accountability. It falls in the category of Christ saying, forgive him, for he know not what he do. He has no perception. Now, here's what I mean by perception. The scripture says that there are people who conscience are seared like a hot iron. They can't discern between good and evil. There are some people who are so morally wicked, they think right is wrong and wrong is right. And I have to look at that individual and say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And at the same time, realize that because of that iniquity that's still there, if y'all don't subdue it, there are consequences for it. And as Elder pointed out, if that iniquity caused certain actions, there are still, there was iniquity caused the baby to come forth. Well, we're all hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, right now, but there's still accountability. We got to raise the baby. People don't want to take accountability for their stuff. They just want to take it to Yah and just say, forget about it. That is the false doctrine of religion or religious teaching. When we start realizing that we have to be accountable for the actions that we take, and that accountability has to do with reverence and allowing Yah to subdue that iniquity, those transgressions and things that we do, when we come to that place where we're willing to make that change, then Yah can do some wonderful things with us as mankind. But as long as people want to take a scripture like Matthew 6 verse 14 and try to whoop somebody else with it, all because they refuse to make changes, you want me to change, but you don't want to change. You need to forgive me, but I'm going to keep slapping you though. All the things that took place in America that hurt you, I want you to forget about that, but I'm going to keep it in your face though. When you go to the bank, that percentage still going to be higher than what mine is. Ain't nothing going to change. I just want you to forgive me for what I did. I paid everybody else for their reparations, but when it comes to you, you just forgive me. Why did you amend it with everybody else? See, right is just right. You make amends with everybody else, but we just supposed to just, on our end, go to God and let you go. And if we don't do that, you hold that over our head and say, you can't be operating in righteousness. Well, I'm just as righteous as the one who made a righteousness available to me. Christ has made me that way. So I'm just as. My mind is the same as his. I'm just like my father, the same way he is, just like his father. So as I'm continuing to operate in more righteousness, then I operate like the Most High Yah, my father. So if he says I show mercy on them that I subdue, then there's some subduing that need to take place as far as mankind is for all of us to experience the mercy. But people have a hard time with that because everybody want to do their dirt and not be held accountable. That's why David said, as I get ready to close, if you don't have anything else, he says, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. That lets me know that there was something going on with David that wasn't going to get him where he wanted to be as long as he was operating that way. So he went to Yah and said, subdue me. Change me. When you change me, I can change people. When you teach me how to reverence you, then I can walk in that same mindset and teach people the truth and subdue that iniquity and cause them to say, you know what, I repent too, bro. And yeah, I can go to Yah about some things, but there are some things I need to come to you about because I did it to you. It's balanced now. You know, some things I can take to Yah. But some things I got to come to you. Because Yah said, don't bring me your gift until you do. See, that's forgiving full circle. There are some who know not what they do. There are some there are some situation where you go to Yah. Mama Coach used the example. What happens if Elder doesn't change? Then I can't now let his action now be a hindrance in my life and cause me now to miss out. Thus this verse here. I almost closed, but y'all say you got to do this one. Mark 11, verse 24. I exit out of this. Mark 11, verse 24 says, verse 25 and 26. It says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. See, that's a perspective. That is a perspective or a teaching about forgiving in another contextual meaning. So it lets me know there are times that I need to let stuff go and go to Yah and let it go because Yah said if you don't let it go, then I can't let your stuff go. That's a facet of forgiving. Then there's another one where Yah said you need to confess. You confess, There's another one where you go to Yah and say, forgive them. They mess with me. They don't know what they do. Now, this one here, in this contextual meaning, said, when you got the problem, you need to let it go. Elder kept slapping me for 10 days straight. Now I can't find it. I can't be walking around here now saying, ooh, I hate him. I can't stand it. No, I got to forgive him. Because if I don't, then that puts me in hindrance as far as y'all saying, okay, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. You see all the perspective as far as forgiving is concerned? We got to be wise enough to know which one to operate in. So it is morally wrong for you to tell me to forgive you when you know what you did and you know what your ancestors did and you just want to stick that scripture in my face and be hypocritical about it instead of you making the change and say, I did you wrong, now what can I do to make it right? Don't try to whoop me with the verse and there is no change on your part. Yeah, I can still pray for you. Then I can say, forgive them for they know not what they do if they truly don't perceive what's going on. But the majority of these jokers know exactly what they're doing. They want to whoop you with the Bible and at the same time continue to operate in their wickedness. Mm-mm, that doesn't work. Y'all are just God. He said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. So all of us, whether we're Israelite or Gentile, got what we got coming to us if we still walk in iniquity and don't allow Yah to subdue it where his mercy can manifest in our life because we reverence him. Y'all say, I love you, but I love you based upon your willingness to do something on your part. You got to reverence me. If you don't, I'm going to treat you like Esau. People have a hard time accepting that they can be treated like Esau. Yah is a just God. And he does it to everybody who doesn't reverence him. Whether that's Jew or Gentile, Israelite or Gentile. So I just wanted to show you all the angles of what true forgiving is about. And we have to make sure that we're wise enough and allow Yah to lead us by his spirit to show us which one that we need to operate in based upon the circumstance. Any comments? Yes.
So in that instance, what should have happened is she should have said, my ancestors did this, will you forgive me?
That's all she had to say. Instead of using that as a reason to say, I ain't about to apologize for what happened. Exactly. I didn't have nothing to do with it, but you are walking in the benefits of that every day of your life. And you're going to say you didn't have nothing to do with it? The same way I am walking in the lack of benefit based upon disobedience to the Most High, we had to make some changes to start operating in the benefit. I went to y'all know when we realized we were as a nation, what do? We all came together and prayed and said, Yah, we repent for what our ancestors did. And we make this declaration that we're going to follow you to the best of our ability from this day forward. Everything that we come into the knowledge that Yah want us to do as a nation of people, we make our best effort to do it. And we say, Yah, whatever we don't understand, bless us to come into the knowledge of it so that we can do it. Yes?
And pride causes them not to do that.
That's what it is. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. That mindset has got to fall. And it is in a very high percentage of those people. They will not repent for what their ancestors done. But they want us to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, and forgive them. What did you do? That's why I asked them, what did you do? What did your people do for me to forgive? Silence. So complete silence. So that let me know that you hadn't been subdued. Pride is still there. And you don't want things to change. You don't want to repent. You don't want to change. You want to do the same thing that your ancestors did. You just know we're not going to put up with it now.
Yes. The thing about it is, if you said, okay, I forgive you,
mm-hmm.
what does that change?
Nothing.
It may do that, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't change inequities or anything else that's wrong.
The only thing that me saying that does is give them self-gratification.
Yeah.
I'm appeased.
And a false sense of security.
Exactly.
Yeah. Y'all still gonna do it.
Exactly. That's why they're putting this stuff up, because they read what I said and they're nervous. So they're trying to find scriptures to counterattack, but no, you're dealing with a different monster here. Can't throw no Bible verse at me, because, man, look here. That Rolodex gets to turn it, and all these scriptures start turning in my head, and I was like, okay, what did you do? Silence. Well, you ain't ready. I can't forgive what you don't confess. I want to forgive you, but you don't want to change. My father want to have mercy, but you don't want to change. I'm just like my father. How can I show mercy and there is no change? All right. I'm finished fussing now. Y'all got any questions, comments? We good? All right. Now we understand it in its fullness. And just remember these scriptures. Remember the different examples that we use. And to understand that when these things are said, we can't take the word forgive and just throw it all over everybody. We all got to do it this way. No, let's go look at the scriptures and see the different examples of how we do it. Okay? All righty. Father Yahweh, we bless your name. We thank you for bringing us into an understanding of your word. We thank you that we are being led by you to understand what forgiving truly is about, that you are a just God, the only God who is righteous and have mercy on mankind and able to distribute that mercy. We declare that we want to be just like you, and we want to balance that that ability to forgive people the same way you balanced it. And you've given us all the examples in the scripture to show us the processes by which we do it, and we'll be or we'll pray. We pray that that we have the wisdom to operate in each one of those facets of forgiving people. That there will be times when we will just forgive people because they know not what they do. There'll be times that we'll forgive people because it is best for us, so that we don't hold grudges and have all against people. There'll be times that we'll have to confess our faults to one another. And Father, we thank you for that, giving us the wisdom to understand that. And we just bless you for it. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.